Good morning. Thank you for being here. I'm excited about the opportunity to open God's Word with you. If you have a Bible, I'm going to be preaching from a text in 1 Timothy chapter 4. I want to thank Dr. Moeller for this opportunity to be here. It's a privilege. And I am humbled by his kind words toward me, and I share his appreciation of our friendship, and also Guidestone is very grateful for our relationship with Southern Seminary. You are very important to us, a priority to us, and we're privileged to have served you for a long time, right up through today. And I thank you for asking me to give a brief word about what is Guidestone. I grew up in the First Baptist Church in the county seat town in Oklahoma. My mom teaching ACT teens in the living room on Wednesday afternoon. She's a thoroughly Southern Baptist lady. And when the Lord opened this door and I realized I was going to become the president of Guidestone, I stopped by her house to tell her that we were going to move to Dallas. I was going to be the president of Guidestone. And I, like every little boy, I wanted my mom to be proud of me. And when I said I'm going to be the president of Guidestone, she looked at me with this blank face, and I realized she doesn't know what Guidestone is. So it's kind of insider baseball. We serve those who serve the Lord. I think of us like the Levites serving in the temple at night. A lot of people don't notice us. We work behind the scenes. We're supporting those who have a call in their life so that they can do their work well. And the best way to articulate what Guidestone is to start at the beginning. We were really conceived with a pastor's burden. William Lunsford was a pastor in Nashville who had been an attorney before he was a pastor. It was 1917. World War I soldiers were coming home and receiving a government pension. He looked across Nashville and across the Southern Baptist Convention and realized too many pastors were coming to the end of their productive years without any financial support. And it was leaving them without dignity, and it was a bit of a reproach on the churches. And he got this burden that we as Southern Baptists could do better. And he went to a pastor's conference, Associational Pastor's Conference in Nashville, and shared his burden with his brothers. And they began to pray about it, which resulted in a recommendation to the Southern Baptist Convention. And in 1918, the Southern Baptist Convention formed the Relief and Annuity Board of the Southern Baptist Convention. Lunsford used to say the relief part of what we do is like an ambulance at the bottom of a cliff. If you fall down and you're destitute in your retirement years, we'll be there to help you. And we still do that through Mission Dignity. Guidestone raises and distributes about $10 million a year to about 2,800 retirement age pastors and their widows. More often it's the widow, who are living at or below poverty level, giving them an honorarium of up to $750 a month to help them have some dignity in their latter years. But Lunsford said the relief part of what we do is like an ambulance at the bottom of the cliff. If you fall off, we'll be there for you. Southern Baptist will be there for you. The annuity part of what we do is like building a fence up at the top of the cliff so that you won't need relief in your latter years. And that's still a pretty good metaphor for what we do. We enhance financial security and resilience for those who serve the Lord. We serve pastors, we serve missionaries and church planters, we serve church workers, we serve over 15,000 church custodians. We serve people who are serving churches and ministries in the kingdom. And we believe that when people live with a little bit of financial security, good insurance, proper retirement planning, it helps them to persevere in the work, to bounce back, to be resilient in what they do. We know that's a key factor in resilience in ministry. And that's the lane that we run in. And we're honored to do that. Just like this institution, we were formed on a shoestring budget with just a handful of people. But through God's grace and favor, we've grown. And today, there are over 500 people employed by Guidestone in Dallas. I'm the preacher president. All the rest of them are financial services professionals, making important financial investing decisions and running our insurance work. Some of you I know in this room are studying business, studying maybe to become a lawyer. We have a lot of godly, gifted Christian people who are not preachers, but they are serving the Lord at Guidestone. And it might be something the Lord has for you. We've grown to over 500 employees. We manage $26 billion. But most, and some of it's for large institutions, but most of that is a small retirement account for a pastor at the crossroads that'll give him some dignity in his retirement years. And that's what we do at Guidestone. And we're honored to do it for Southern Baptist. When God called me to this role, I felt like it was both a stewardship and a platform. Certainly, I'm going to give an account to the Lord, and I regularly give an account to Southern Baptist for that $26 billion, which is a heavy responsibility. But it's also a platform. It's an opportunity for me to speak to those who are serving the Lord, pastors, missionaries, ministry workers, about taking care of themselves. You know, when people let you talk to them about their money, their treasure, they're kind of letting you into their business, right? And this gives me an opportunity to speak to those who are serious about their vocation, to speak to them about the importance of taking care of themselves. And so the text I want to look at this morning has been a key text in my calling to this work. And I want to just very simply and briefly unpack it for you this morning. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16. Now, in this text, Paul is writing to Timothy, who is a minister of the gospel. And as I unpack this text, I will apply this primarily to ministers of the gospel. I know others of you in this room have different vocational callings on your life, but the principles here will hold true. This is true for you no matter how you're serving the Lord Jesus for the rest of your days. And the bottom line of the biblical teaching here is that healthy gospel ministry requires healthy gospel ministers. That's Paul's message to Timothy. If you are not well, you will not serve well for very long. Guidestone operates in this narrow lane of financial wellness, but it's a part of a larger whole: physical, emotional, relational, moral, spiritual wellness. And what I want us to see from this text is that the Bible calls us to pay attention to ourselves so that we can do our work well. Take care of yourself. When I had just started in this role, Mark Dance and I had a group of Korean pastors in our building in Dallas. There were about 40 of them. And we were talking about taking care of yourself, your financial wellness and physical wellness and different aspects of life. And when we finished about 3 hours of presenting, one sharp young pastor raised his hand. And he asked me this question. He said, "I hear your message about self-care, and I appreciate it. But," he asked, "how can I reconcile your message about taking care of myself with the message of Jesus about denying myself?" Well, listen, when somebody's contrasting you to the teachings of Jesus, you're kind of on your back foot, right? And I hadn't been in the role very long, and I don't mind confessing to you that I bumbled and stumbled for about 3 minutes. He just caught me off guard. It was not one of my finer moments. And finally, Mark Dance rescued me. He said very simply, "Jesus calls us to deny ourselves, not to neglect ourselves. And there's a difference." And what I want you to see from this text, what I want you to leave here this morning with this conviction about, is that the call to pay attention to yourself, I'm not talking about being selfish or soft. We want to buffet the body. We want to discipline ourselves for the purpose of godliness. I'm not talking about being self-centered or soft. We're talking about being strategic with our kingdom assignment. And we're talking about simple obedience to the Word of God. Look what Paul says to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16. Pay close attention to yourself and to the doctrine. I'm reading out of the New American Standard. It says your teaching, but a better translation is the doctrine, the teaching. Persevere in these things. For as you do this, you will ensure salvation both for yourself and for those who hear you. As you do this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you, Paul says. Let me make an attempt just to unpack Paul's simple logic here. Because I don't want anybody here to feel like, for the rest of your days, that paying attention to yourself is in any way at odds with the call of Jesus Christ to deny yourself. This is obedience to the Word of God. Pay attention to yourself. And see if you agree with me. I think this is Paul's logic. First of all, we are called to important work. That's what Paul is saying in the text. In fact, he employs such strong language about the significance and the impact of our work that at first we think, I'm not sure Paul meant to say it that way. I mean, you might not be like me, but when I read this and Paul says, you will ensure salvation both for yourself and those who hear you, I'm struck by that. Did Paul really say that? You will save both yourself and those. This is strong language. And I think Paul is using that kind of strong language to wake us up and help us to understand the gravity of our calling, that we are dealing with matters of salvation. We're dealing with the souls of men and women. He also emphasizes the importance of the work that we have by emphasizing that it's a ministry of the word. Pay attention to yourself and the doctrine. Not just your teaching, but the teaching. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, once and for all delivered to you. You've got to get yourself right and you've got to get the doctrine right, because this ministry of the word to those who are listening to you has eternal implications. It's heavy work. We are called to important work. So Paul is saying we take ourselves seriously because we take our work seriously. We have a high calling in Christ Jesus. I was struck by an article that I saw a few months ago about LeBron James. LeBron James spends $1.5 million a year of his own money for his own physical training. I mean, he has a team of people who work for him. And he has a dietitian, he does yoga, he has a massage therapist, exercises 6 days a week, he's meticulous about his diet, he has a hyperbaric chamber, and he uses cryotherapy. He's got all this high-tech stuff to take care of his body. Because, you know, LeBron James is 40 years old. He's Andrew Walker's age, right? Which, you know, if you're 40, you're a young professor, but you're a really old basketball player. And so he's spending all of that money, all of that time, so focused on taking care of his physical body so that he can continue to perform at that level in basketball. And what Paul is saying to us is we bring our whole selves into the work. Physically, mentally, spiritually, financially, emotional wellness, our family relationships. We bring it all to bear for our work. And our work is of vital importance. So his first line of thought here is, we have important work to do. And then next, not only do we have important work to do, but we're called to important work over the long haul of life. It's not a sprint. It's a long-term race. And so Paul says to Timothy, pay careful attention to yourself and the doctrine. persevere in these things. You see? You don't have to just do this for this semester or this season, but your calling is a lifetime calling. You have to persevere over the long haul. And that's one of the reasons why we have to pay such careful attention to ourselves, so that we can abide under the work, so that we can stay actively and productively engaged and fulfill our calling to the very end. If we had time this morning, we could look at this text in the context of the pastoral epistles. And when I study the pastoral epistles, I realize that our calling is not that complicated. It's not even actually all that difficult. But everything a minister of the gospel does is done under pressure, under the microscope, and under attack. And over the long years of work, if there's any crack or crevice or fracture or fault, it will come to surface and eventually undermine the work. And brothers and sisters, you need to understand, no matter what your calling is, that you can neglect your health for a season. You can neglect your financial wellness for a season. You might neglect your family relationships or your emotional stability for a season. But eventually, this will catch up to you. And it will undermine your capacity to do what God has called you to do. Persevere in these things. Or as Paul says in verse 15, so that your progress may be evident to all. That you can continue to move. Because it gets heavier. Do you know what NTPA is? You should know this. The National Tractor Pullers Association. They have an event right here in Louisville in February. I bet Dr. Moeller already has tickets, probably. The National Tractor Puller Association. Have you ever been flipping channels at night and you've seen a tractor pull? Those big tractors, they pull that sled and they're seeing which tractor. And I don't know if you have noticed this, but those sleds are not static. They're actually weight transfer drag sleds, which means the farther that tractor pulls, the heavier the sled becomes. Can I tell you, as Dr. Moeller mentioned, I was a pastor for 30 years. And what I discovered about pastoral ministry, and I think it's true for life in many ways, is that with each passing year, it got a little heavier. As I got older, as my relationships with the church matured, as people trusted me more, then more and more and more and more weight was shifted to my shoulders. It didn't get lighter, it gets heavier. And if we're going to persevere in these things, then we've got to watch our pace. We've got to make sure we're not carrying unnecessary burdens. We got to make sure we can do what God's called us to do, not just today, but tomorrow, and as long as the Lord tarries. Persevere in these things. So Paul's logic is, we're called to important work. We're called to important work over the long haul. So we must pay attention to ourselves. And listen, this is Paul's consistent message. You remember in Acts chapter 20 that when Paul met the elders at Ephesus on the beach and had his tearful farewell, that one of the things he said to the elders at Ephesus, Acts chapter 20, verse 28, is pay attention to yourselves and to the flock of God. Isn't that interesting? In both contexts, first on Paul's mind, pay attention to yourself. Be on guard for yourself. And listen, God called me over 40 years ago. And I've seen some peers disqualified because they neglected the doctrine. I've seen some peers disqualified because they neglected the flock of God. But I've seen far more disqualified because they neglected themselves. They tolerated a certain amount of dysfunction in their family life or in their physical life, in their spiritual disciplines, in the moral fabric of their life, in their financial stability, that eventually undermined the work that God had called them to do. Do you know what lecture number one of Spurgeon's lectures to my students is titled? The Minister's Self-Watch. Do you want section number one of Richard Baxter's book on the Reformed Pastor is titled? The Oversight of Yourself. Where did Richard Baxter and Charles Spurgeon get this idea that if we're going to be effective in serving the Lord over the long haul of our life, we've got to pay attention to ourselves? They learned it from the Apostle Paul. So brothers and sisters, I'm not talking about being selfish or soft or self-centered in the cultural trend of the day. I'm calling you to obedience to the Word of God. Pay attention to yourself. My dad was a blue-collar guy, made his living with his hands in the oil fields of Oklahoma. The longer I live, the more grateful I am that I got to grow up working with my dad. And he's still living. And if you met my dad, you would not be impressed with his clothes. He wears pretty much the same thing every day, and everything he owns has an oil stain on it somewhere. And you wouldn't be impressed with his yard. He mows it, but that's about all. But if you ever got into his shop, you would find that every tool he owns is clean and in its proper place. Because that's his vocation, that's his calling, that's his life. He's ready to do his work. Spurgeon said, every workman knows the necessity of keeping his tools in a good state of repair. And then listen to what Spurgeon said. We are, in a certain sense, our own tools. And therefore, we must keep ourselves in order. That's what Paul is saying to Timothy. I was thinking this week about Paul's final statement in 2 Timothy. And we're all familiar with 2 Timothy chapter 4. And Paul says, I've been poured out as a drink offering. The time of my departure has come. I fought the good fight. I finished the course. I've run the race. And I was thinking about this message of taking care of yourselves and Paul's language of, I've poured myself out as a drink offering. I want you to notice again the consistency of Paul. Not spilled, but poured. Not neglect, but discipline. Not wasted, but worship. Strategically maximized for the master. Poured out as an offering to the Lord. This is our calling. No matter what your vocation, take care of yourself so that you can finish your race. Let me pray for you. Father, thank you for this institution. And I thank you for the men and women in this room, for the calling that you have on the life of each one. Thank you that you give us meaningful work to do, kingdom work, no matter what lane we run in. And I pray, Father, that everyone in this room would understand it is so much easier to stay well than it is to get well. And I pray that from the beginning of their journey, these students would pay careful attention to themselves. In all these arenas of life, so that they do not carry unnecessary burdens, so they are not tripped up, so that they have a pace of ministry that allow them to glorify the Lord Jesus through a long and fruitful life as the Lord wills. Thank you, Father, for our calling in Christ Jesus. I pray that each one in this room would know the grace of being able to say at the end of their ministry journey, their life of faith, whether long or short, I've fought the good fight. I've finished my course. I've poured my life out as a drink offering that glorifies you. Because you alone are worthy, Lord Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.